From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 20th day of May 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel, the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Dave Dickey will be along with the news, and then I'll tell you all about how the USDA has opted to conduct full environmental impact studies on a couple of genetically modified soybeans that will delay the introduction of both the dicamba and 2,4-D resistant varieties by more than a year. And don't forget, as we close out our half hour together, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast, and it all happens right here on a Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago for a Monday afternoon. Futures in the soft red winter wheat at $6.85 and a quarter for the harvest month July. Up 2 cents for the day. September, penny and three quarters higher at $6.92 and three quarters. Kansas wheat at $7.45 for the hard red, up 7 3/4. From Chicago in the corn pit, the nearby July, $6.49 and a half, a settlement price there, 3 1/4 cents lower. September at $5.54 and a half, down 1 1/2. And December corn at $5.20 and a quarter, 3/4 of a cent higher. The March contract, 531, up a penny in the May futures at 538 and three quarters, up 1 1/4. July contract, 545 and three quarters, a penny and a quarter higher. And September corn of next year, that's for 2014 at $5.38, up 1 1/4. July soybean futures, 1464 and a half today, up 16 cents. August at 1391, 12 and a half higher. September at 1294 and a quarter, up 4 3/4. And November beans at $12.25, 3 1/4 cents lower. January futures at 1232, down 3 1/4. And the March contract at 1237, 2 1/2 cents lower. Next year's July at 1247 and a quarter. And the bean pet, a settlement price down 1 1/2. Bean meal futures at 435.30, up $10.20. And bean oil at 49.20, 32 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished the nearby August contract at 119.15, up 60 cents. August feeder cattle at $144.47 on its settlement price, $1.10 higher, and the July lean hogs for the day at $91.52 finished 55 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading June at $96.71 a barrel, up 69 cents, and the RBOB gasoline at $2.90 3/10 of a cent. That's the wholesale price, down 3/10 of a cent. Ethanol futures at $2.67, 1/10 of a cent lower, and the difference between the two is 23 3/10 of a cent today on the spread. Natural gas at $4.09 2/10 of a cent, up 3 7/10, and heating oil at $2.95. That's 1 3/10 higher for diesel fuel. Gold futures at $1,384.10 an ounce, up $19.40, and the U.S. dollar, that's down 0.51 at 83.74. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. A 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, partly sunny, a high of 89 degrees. A south wind at 18 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 24. And then this evening, showers and thunderstorms are likely. They'll continue right on through the evening this afternoon. And we'll have a low this evening of 68 degrees, chance of precipitation set at 70%. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms will continue, mostly cloudy, a high of 83. Again, a 70% chance of precipitation in the area. Showers and thunderstorms on Tuesday night, mostly cloudy and 65. Rainfall events at 70% still, and it drops to 60% by the time we get to Wednesday with a high of 77 degrees. Wednesday night, a chance of showers as they leave the area, mostly cloudy and 59. A 40% chance of showers on Thursday and 71. And finally, Thursday night, mostly cloudy and a low of 50 degrees. Mostly sunny on Friday and 69. And Friday night, partly cloudy and a low of 50. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago.
Todd Gleason, sir. Services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is, the 21st day of May 2013, actually the 20th day of May 2013. On the phone line with us for a Monday afternoon is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, well, tell me about all the rainfall that's coming, how much it might slow things down, and what expectations this afternoon are for corn and soybean planting progress across the nation.
Well, actually, for the most part, this rain event's been anticipated or wanted here for about the last 4 days. And thus far, the majority of the areas kind of missed out here in the Central Belt. Producers have made some tremendous headway. Ideas are we can receive anywhere from a half to 1.5 inches, but a lot of pop-up activities taking place here, a little bit more organized as we go in tomorrow, isolated, inch-plus amounts. But for those guys in the south, they caught some rain late last week there and have been battling, a little too moisture on south of us a little bit. And also that's true for the north, too. We've kind of central here been kind of fortunate to miss most of the moisture. Guys are fairly well caught up on corn, 100% done in some areas on corn, up to 50% done in beans. This afternoon's playing progress. It's a tough one because the trade pretty well recognizes that some of these numbers could be delayed, but ideas are we could be as much as 70% complete on the corn number. But actually, this afternoon's report ranges more in this 55 to 62% complete area as a nation. I would imagine we probably saw or will see a record progress report in 1 week from 1 week to the next. Producers pretty well pushed it real hard here with rain in the forecast and a little window of opportunity, wanting to do the best they can to get a majority of the corn in prior to moving into this weekend through here. Overall, beans maybe 25 to 30% complete as a nation. But we'll see what those numbers are. It's kind of more of a conversational piece than anything at this point in time. Trade's kind of viewing that we'll get, over 90% of the corn crop in by the end of the month and believe that we're on target to achieve 158 bushels to the acre on corn and 44.5 bushels to the acre on beans at this point in time until the weather pattern changes.
Well, that seems like it would be a pretty good-sized number. I take it the trade's not particularly concerned about the half of the crop or 40% or 30% of the crop that will go in, at least for corn, after the 20th day of May.
Well, yeah, if it drags on into June, they'll become a little bit more excited about it. The main thing is the rest, the weather as we go on through the rest of the growing season. Things are going to have to be perfect to keep that yield up there, of course. The 90-day outlook, a little warmer and a little drier than average. So that's going to create some weather market opportunities as we go into the growing season here. Got to remember, we're coming off a tight old crop supply, and that's been reflective in the spreads. And the trade's going to be real anxious to gather inventory here as soon as they can here this fall.
Yeah, speaking of which, you and I both know there are producers that will have hung on for quite some time at this point to their old crop corn. How do they deal with it if we're looking at a 13 million bushel new crop harvest this fall? What do you do with your old crop? Do you dollar cost average it out over time, or what happens?
Well, you hold on till the very last second here before the basis collapses, and
you've got that number, do you?
Well, for 1999,
there you go. Yeah,
we'll give you the exact date the high is going to be.
Is it five easy payments of 1999?
Well, it depends on how much old crop inventory you have. But that's a good question, and that's what's going to be the challenge here, the excitement, if a guy hanging on for a little, try and get the best he can. And it's going to be in the cash market, of course, and it's going to be in the feed sector. And the other part of the demand is going to take some downtime. They're going to try to be patient, wait for new crop supplies to come in. Or and what I mean by feed sector, I'm talking here in the Midwest. Of course, the Southeast is going to import, some grain to get them by.
Right.
But the thing is to be flexible and search for those bids out there, because they're going to be there. And our best guess is you get in the first part of July. That's going to be the time window to look for on the best bid you're going to receive.
In his weekly outlook today, Darrell Good pointed out that for corn and soybeans, new crop at least, the transition back to lower prices has been completed, in his opinion, although we're still above $5, I guess, for corn. I suppose that's kind of a range down on the bottom side of this. Are you with him if we raise 158 bushel acre national yield that this 520 can do December corn?
Well, it's going to hold here for a while. On the board, you're talking $4 cash corn in some areas. I would think 4.5 would kind of be the lower end. The thing is, when you look at the big picture in here, the trade's viewing that we're going to have plenty of global supplies. All your global or world carry-out estimates on corn, beans, and wheat are all going to increase significantly here, as long as weather cooperates. But, I would think that the downside risk is probably 4.5 on corn. Then we'll have to see how the rest of these countries go as we move more into this fall and winter time frame.
Any news for the livestock producer today?
Well, a little encouragement, as far as fat prices go. We're seeing record high prices, basically once we get it out of the feedlot into the processor hands. So it appears they're willing to share a little bit of that margin. Packers are got a lot of cushion to work with. We're seeing the futures market try to grind out some type of low here, and we look for the narrowing of the spread between the futures and the cash. The cash is quite a bit of premium to where the futures is, so we feel the beef prices on the board have some upside room in here. Demand's the key in here, and we feel demand's going to pick up here as we go more into the cookout seasons there, Todd.
What'd you make of the cattle on feed numbers that came out on Friday afternoon? I am thinking back. I think it showed, 115% on feed as of April 1?
Well, it's getting like some of these other reports, basically, where the numbers are shuffled around. All of a sudden you had a lot of cattle going to the feedlot. But where'd they come from? Well, ideas where they were on pasture. Well, we've got real extreme dry conditions out west, so how can they be on pasture? Those are the numbers we have to work with. And overall, we're going to be still tight. The key, probably more than anything, is this demand and also export demand.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay, Todd. Thanks.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
One quick thing before Dave Dickey gets to us with the news. If you'd like to know what those numbers from the Crop Progress Report are, not long after they come out, dial this number. I'll try to put them up on our voicemail at 217-333-3434 by about 3:15. That's 333-3434. Now here's Dave.
In agricultural news, House Agriculture Committee Ranking Member Colin Peterson says that the Farm Bill will face floor fights on a number of issues from both parties for eventual negotiations with the Senate later this summer. Peterson also expressed confidence that the Farm Bill could be done before the August recess if both versions are able to get past their respective floor debates in the coming weeks. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Frank Lucas says that the legislation will be debated in mid-June. Floor debate begins on the Senate bill today. In the coming weeks, Peterson says he, Lucas, and others will be talking with House leaders on how to manage the floor debate. Meanwhile, three U.S. senators, including Mark Kirk of Illinois, say that they plan to introduce an amendment to overhaul a federal sugar price support program in the Senate Farm Bill that would reform domestic supply restrictions, lower price support levels, and ensure adequate sugar supplies at reasonable prices. USDA guarantees domestic processors of the sweetener a minimum price through a federal loan program, but tumbling U.S. sugar prices, which have fallen 36% over the past year, have put processors at risk of default. If processors default, they forfeit sugar put up as collateral for the government loans to repay them. The USDA is required to sell any sugar it purchases to ethanol producers in order to reduce supply, but because domestic ethanol producers are not readily equipped to process sugar, most use corn as a feedstock, the USDA expects to sell any purchased sugar at a discount, which would result in an estimated loss of $80 million. A survey of economists say that strengthening consumer spending and housing investment should compensate for a decline in government spending this year. The poll of 49 economists conducted by the National Association for Business Economics forecast that consumer spending will increase by 2.3% and that housing investment will rise by 15% in 2013. The NABE May survey forecast government spending will fall by 2.3% in 2013. Overall, the NABE forecasts that gross domestic product will post a 2.1% annual average growth rate in 2013, up slightly from its 2% forecast in February. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. He's also a veteran of the United States Armed Forces, as is my father and Bruce Eisberg of Lincoln, Illinois. Dave will take my seat here tomorrow, by the way, as I head to Washington, D.C. with Bruce and my dad on the honor flight. I'm really looking forward to doing it and wanted to say thank you to a veteran, Dave Dickey, for taking my slot tomorrow afternoon so I can make the trip to the War Memorials in Washington, D.C. on the honor flight with Marty Gleason and Bruce Eisberg, both of Logan County. Now, up next, you know, the United States Department of Agriculture has opted to conduct full environmental impact studies as opposed to an abbreviated environmental assessment on two new soybean gene technologies. That'll delay their introduction. Both, of course, are designed to impart herbicide resistance. This enhanced environmental review, as you'll hear, is a more cautious path for the USDA. The cautious path comes in the wake of lawsuits surrounding the agency's deregulation of herbicide-resistant alfalfa and sugar beets without full environmental impact studies. It's likely to delay new and future product introductions into the marketplace, says University of Illinois agricultural law specialist Brian Endress.
Well, the USDA, specifically the Animal Plant Health Inspection Service, or APHIS, has been reviewing a petition to deregulate two new soybean varieties, as well as this technology applies to corn and cotton, that are resistant to the 2,4-D herbicide as well as dicamba herbicide. So in other words, it's an alternative herbicide resistance to the Roundup and Liberty products.
It was expected these reviews would wrap up soon and that both soybean herbicide technologies would enter the marketplace next year. That's no longer the case. Each will be subjected to a full environmental impact statement under the National Environmental Policy Act.
In the past, the USDA has only conducted a more fast-track environmental assessment. And it's and what that means is that for a full environmental impact statement, or EIS, it's going to require more scientific study, a greater opportunity for the public to comment. And from the soybean industry, it's going to delay the release of these two products by about a year or longer.
Here's the reason Endress believes USDA opted for the full studies.
The last two varieties that the USDA has deregulated, the Roundup Ready sugar beet and Roundup Ready alfalfa, the agency did not conduct an environmental impact statement, but rather the shorter environmental assessment. In both cases, the agency was sued and lost and had to go back to the table to perform a full environmental impact statement.
USDA's decision, then, is not an indication of something amiss with the technologies, but rather an acknowledgement of the changing legal landscape as it relates to genetically modified crops and their approval. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It is a Monday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market. Amy Sage from the Andersons right here in Champaign County is on the phone line to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Amy.
Good afternoon.
And can you look forward now that producers have a crop in the ground or a good portion of a corn crop in the ground and maybe some beans, and tell me what the fall prices look like at this time? Let's start there, please.
Yep, well, we obviously have a long ways to go before we get to fall harvest. We're obviously sitting a lot better than we were a week ago here. So assuming normal weather, assuming that we don't turn off hot and dry at this point, you know, I guess we have no reason really to rally without any significant weather scares here. So I would say continue to level off and grind lower if we continue to get through pollination in a good way and hopefully see a normal size crop or whatever normal is now, but a larger crop than obviously we've been through the past couple years.
Yeah. And your fall bids look like what?
Our fall bid today, we are posted at 13 under the December, which is at 507 cash corn across the scale. On soybeans, we're 1204 across the scale. That's 21 under the November.
Yeah, neither of those sound terribly bad, I suppose, if you look far enough forward. But
yeah, absolutely.
So what are you thinking about that then?
You know, if a guy doesn't have anything sold at this point, I definitely recommend getting, you know, 5 in front of your first cash sale and 12 in front of your first cash bean sale. Hopefully, most people aren't sitting uncovered completely at this point. But yeah, I guess I would go ahead and start getting some protection on. If I've already made my first sales, even look at, you know, selling on some rallies here, not necessarily pulling the trigger, you know, at the low end of this range, but getting some orders in, you know, maybe 5 cent, 10 cent rally, start getting some on here with the intention of if we do start to see some dramatic weather scares, that you can always add some protection to that. Buy a call now to protect your upside potential, or you know, even re-own your hedges later at a later time.
Of course, that's advice if you haven't done anything. But if you have, I suppose, crop insurance in place and some earlier sales, you're content to stay put. What are your old crop bids as well? Let's get those in and then we're all done.
Yes, old crop corn, we're sitting at $6.93 today, and old crop beans at $15.55, cash and new wheat $6.65.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Back in 2 minutes.
It's National Quiche Lorraine Day. On this day in agricultural history, in 1862, President Abraham Lincoln signed the Homestead Act into law. It opened millions of acres of western land to settlers. The law allowed applicants freehold title to 160 acres of undeveloped land outside of the original 13 colonies. The new law required 3 steps, the filing of an application, improvement of the land, and filing for deed of title. Eventually, 1.6 million homesteads were granted, the last to Kenneth Deerdorf for a claim in Alaska. in 1988. In 1874, jeans with copper rivets are patented by Levi Strauss and Jacob Davis. For nearly 20 years, Levi Strauss & Company was the only company making riveted clothing until the patent expired around 1891. Thereafter, dozens of garment manufacturers began to imitate the original riveted clothing. In 1875, the International Bureau of Weights and Measures was created. In 1884, El Blue patented a hand corn sheller. And in 2005, Governor Jeb Bush signed a law making the orange the official state fruit of Florida. The orange blossom and orange juice were previously declared the official state flower and official state beverage. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, the University of Illinois campus. I'm Todd Gleason on the phone line. Josh Darr to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Josh.
Hey, Todd. How are you today?
I'm very, very well. There were a lot of folks that were looking for rainfall. They're kind of glad, probably, that it didn't make its way into the state of Illinois, other parts of the Midwest over the last 4 or 5 days so that they could plant corn and or soybeans. They kind of maybe would like a little drizzle here and there at this point. I suppose maybe you can tell them that's coming or not.
It is. We do have an opportunity here across Illinois to receive some rain showers between now and Thursday. Certainly the heavier rainfall totals across the Midwest are going to be more so in Iowa, in the northwestern belt up in the Dakotas, Minnesota, and actually reports here today up in the Dakotas of 4 to 6 inches of rain. So they're getting very heavy rainfall. Here in Illinois, we have a band of showers, which is in the western part of the state right now, not putting very much down. There will be several more opportunities now tomorrow and Wednesday, but overall coverage of the state looks to be about 50% coverage of amounts over 4/10 of an inch. Highest totals look to be in the northwestern part of the state, up to an inch, inch and a half in that area. So we will get some rains, not nearly as heavy, though, as we're seeing out further in the western belt.
Yeah, the southern tier of counties, southern third, I suppose, have been suffering more rainfall than really they want. A lot of those folks haven't started planting yet. They would prefer it not rain there. How's that going to look for them over the next several days?
Good question, Todd. The southern third of the state has better prospects here for drier weather. You'd think the best prospects here over the next 3 to 4 days. Northwestern part of the state picks up the heaviest totals. Southeastern, call it third of the state, looks to only pick up 25-35% coverage of that part of the state of amounts under generally half an inch. So more open weather down south, whereas the northern areas here will get the better rain prospects as the system pushes through over the next 3 to 4 days.
Enough about the United States. How is China, where the other corn crop is going in the ground, been faring? They should be at completion just as we are, but I think they've been running behind too.
They have been running behind, and up north across Manchuria, some open weather, more open weather last week. As we look ahead, actually above normal rainfall pattern here in the next 10 days to 2 weeks. That goes for the North China Plain as well. We're looking at 65% of both those acres receiving amounts of a 4/10 up to an inch and a half. Heavier totals potentially in North China Plain. So whereas we've gotten a nice week here in the Midwest to make a significant move forward in planting progress, China's still a little bit more start and go. So it's a mixed bag. We continue to improve the soil moisture reserves, but they aren't getting the bigger open window that we've had here to make significant progress.
And usually by this time late in the year, halfway through the year, not quite that far, we stop talking about South America, but they do have a second crop of corn in Brazil, and it won't be harvested yet. Can you tell me about those areas that would be second crop corn?
Yeah, the active area in South America recently has been southern Brazil, and they've actually fared above normal rainfall, whereas northern Brazil and actually Argentina as well has seen drier than normal conditions. So overall, that's beneficial for second crop. It's also beneficial getting the winter wheat crop in the ground in Argentina. So all things look good here in South America as we see it today, Todd.
Thanks so much, Mark.
Thanks.
Mark Russo with Chesapeake Energy wraps up this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd.
Learned Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learned Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.